Next step number 587, September 5th, 2019. Individuality, uniqueness, our need to celebrate the drumbeats that we walk to. This is Father Vasque, and I'm a priest of the Armenian Church, connecting the dots between those drumbeats, between our steps, between the psychological, spiritual, emotional, and all the other worlds that you can think of. This is the next step, and we're inviting you to take it with us right now.
Hi, this is Susie with In His Shoes Ministries welcoming you to our 12th year of broadcasting The Next Step with Father Vasque. Since 2008, we have been producing these podcasts on a weekly basis for those who are seeking practical and deeper applications of their faith and spirituality in their lives today. Blending the most ancient traditions of Armenian Orthodoxy with the challenges of the 21st century, Father Vasque brings a distinctive and unique voice to the Christian conversation of peace, harmony, and love. Armadoxy is a practical approach to melding spirit and passion in the real world. So turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Do you hear the beat of the drum? Do you hear the beat of the drum set by the drummer? No, I'm not talking about those footsteps. I'm talking about the beat of a drum. What do you hear? Maybe you don't hear it. If you do hear it, what rhythm does it have? Which of the beats are accented? What's the tempo? What's the pace of that drumming? Big questions, huh? On my dad's gravestone, we have marked, he stepped to the beat of a different drummer. We might as well have put, he danced to a beat of a different drummer, because that was just as true too. But of course, this comes to us from the great thinker, philosopher, Henry David Thoreau. And I want to start today's show off with this because, well, that drumming has been really accented in my life, throughout my life, and every so often, an event takes place, as it did this week, where I realize that we're not in tune to that drum. We're not tuning in to our own drum beats. And so maybe as a refresher course, I'll tell you what happened this week. But let me start off from Henry David Thoreau. This is from Walden. He writes, "Why should we be in such desperate haste to succeed, and in such desperate enterprises? If a man does not keep pace with his companions, perhaps it is because he hears a different drummer. Let him step to the music which he hears, however measured or far away." I'm sure you've heard this. Might even be a sign of how old you are, right? What generation you belong to. We used to eat this stuff up, Henry David Thoreau, back in college. In fact, I'm reading from my college book, from the book that I bought in college for, 95 cents. It is Thoreau, Walden, and Other Writings. Walden, Civil Disobedience, and Life Without Principles. Doesn't that just like describe everything we talk about here on The Next Step? Yeah, we used to eat this stuff up. The drummer. This week I lost a friend. One I hadn't really been in contact for the last couple years. He had suffered through some really debilitating health issues. And I was very thankful that we did keep a relationship, a friendship through the years. But basically for 6 years, I not only worked with this man, it was in essence, we lived together. We worked at the St. Gregory Armenian Church together in Pasadena. And during those 6 years, we would see each other every day, just kind of like in each other's face too. And just a few days ago, he passed away. He was definitely one of those characters, you know, that actually stepped to a different beat. And one of those characters that, unfortunately, there aren't enough of, because we want to create the same beat and have everyone walk to that same beat, don't we? That's what Thoreau was talking about. That's what he emphasized. He advocated for the necessity for us to be individuals, to celebrate that individuality that we have. Let me just read you a little bit about this. His name was Setrag, and this was written by his niece, who happens to be a very noted comedian in her own right, and actually playwright. She does these shows. Her name is Lori Tartulian. She posted this, and I want to just share this with you. She goes, "Yesterday we lost a legend, my Uncle Setrag, or Cigar Seto. He always had a cigar in his mouth, a Beretta gun strapped to his ankle, a belly that protruded like Buddha's, a booming voice, and drove a Rolls Royce." Yep, she hit it exactly. Yeah, and she's absolutely right. He did have a Beretta on his ankle. Licensed, by the way, licensed. Nothing illegal here. Since the early 70s, he owned the gas station on the corner of Hill and Walnut and was dubbed the unofficial mayor of Pasadena. Anybody that knew him, and that was a lot of people, had a million stories about him, and all of them will amaze you, make you laugh, and say, only Setrag. He was fearless, old school to the core, and went out of his way to help anybody in need. Families getting settled in the new country, financial help, relationship help, helping out Armenian organizations, knocking sense into people. I will vouch for that. Yeah, I definitely will vouch for that. That's another story. Yeah, maybe if we get into it, I'll get into there. Everybody called Setrag when they were in a bind or when they needed something done. Even the Pasadena Police Department sought his help. Every other word that came out of his mouth was a curse word, but his heart was that of a saint. She goes on with a few more personal reflections, but let me skip to a part which kind of like identifies who he was, because this is so true, I could relate to it. Took a six-hour ride with him to the Armenian summer camp. He was the night patrol. He was driving 100 miles up those cliffy roads, telling me the hostage stories about the civil war in Beirut, holdups at his gas station, and how he got me out of 100 traffic tickets, found me my first apartment, fixed all my cars, etc. And that was him. He was just bigger than life. He was truly a legend. And that's what I wanted to share with you today, because sometimes when we talk about people, we are so quick to want to put them into the molds that we have rather than celebrating their individuality. Unfortunately, it's usually, and I'll vouch for this, it's usually after their passing that we celebrate that individuality of a person. And I think that what I'm getting at is that I wish we can celebrate people's individuality while they're alive. That's really the difficult proposition, isn't it? Because we just want to find order. We want to pigeonhole people. We want to drop people into categories. I mean, look at personality testing, right? There's certain personality traits. Look at the zodiac. You have 12 signs. This is where you fall in. Look at the Chinese years. There's 12 different years and cycles, and this is the year that you were born, and therefore you follow this. Now, you know that, I mean, I will tell you that I know that the zodiac, for instance, the horoscopes, I'm not going to tell you it's fake, but I'll tell you a true story. Several years ago, I had to make a little bit of income, and I did some desktop publishing in the early days of computing. This is back several years back. And I got a small job doing a newsletter for a dress store. Yes, a design store, a small little dress shop, I should say. It was one of those boutique dress shops, and the owner wanted to put out a magazine that they could send out to their clients. And we went through the entire layouts and the different designs, and I guided her through the different programs that there were. And then finally, we developed a small little magazine, a few page, like one of those brochures that are sent out by mail. And she wanted to feature in there a column of horoscope. And, well, should I tell you this or not? Yeah, okay. I wrote the horoscope. I wrote it. I wrote the horoscope. Now, this is going to happen. And you know what? You're not going to believe this. How many people? I mean, I'm talking disproportionate number of people inquired, where are those horoscopes from? They're fantastic. I relate. They talk to me. They're exactly right on target. Well, it wasn't because of the stars I looked up. I just kind of used my imagination. It's like reading coffee cups, right? Kind of like press yourself to use your imagination. Maybe that's what it's all about. And I think this is the celebration of individuality that's missing from life. And unfortunately, we wait until people are gone to say, hey, we really appreciated you being different. I told you, on my dad's gravestone, it says he stepped to the beat of a different drummer. And it came to us from this Thoreau passage. Now, Thoreau writes quite a bit. In fact, Life Without Principles, it's a smaller than Walden. And these were written like in the end of the 19th century. He went up to Walden Pond, and we'd been there. We had a chance with the late Father Daja Davidian. We were there in 1988. He gave us a first-hand tour of Walden and the entire backwoods, Connecticut and everything, but Cape Cod. And I have to tell you, it was just beautiful to be able to be in the same area that that Thoreau wrote these. I mean, let me read you this small little passage that he writes from his journal. I thrive best on solitude. If I have had a companion only one day in a week, unless it were one or two I could name, I find that the value of the week to me has been seriously affected. It dissipates my days, and often it takes me another week to get over it. He goes on and on about the importance of that solitude. Well, isn't that our, isn't that what we talk about with retreats? Isn't that what we do during the Lenten cycles? Here, especially at the next step, we celebrate those opportunities to have introspection. And that's really what this is all about. So let me read the entire thing once more. And this is a passage that was very famous back in the 60s, 70s with the counterculture movement. It was like plastered all over the place. As a young college student, like I said, we'd eat this up. But it's that passage about the drummer, so famous, but so necessary for us to tune in to that drumbeat that Thoreau is talking about, because it is the drumbeat of individualism. Why should we be in desperate haste to succeed and in such desperate enterprises? If a man does not keep pace with his companions, perhaps it is because he hears a different drummer. Let him step to the music which he hears, however measured or far away. It is not important that he should mature as soon as an apple tree or an oak. Shall he turn his spring into summer? If the condition of things which we were made for is not yet, what were any reality which we can substitute? We will not be shipwrecked on a vain reality. Shall we with pains erect a heaven of blue glass over ourselves? Though when it is done, we shall be sure to gaze still at the true ethereal heaven far above, as if the former were not. Are you with me? I mean, isn't this wild? I mean, Thoreau wrote this back in the 19th century. Isn't it weird that here we are in the 21st century still talking about these things? Like, how do we define success these days? How do people define success? It's usually based on the material wealth that you have. We don't talk about spiritual wealth, do we? We talk about material wealth. What I read to you about this gentleman, Setrag, the story that I read to you, his uniqueness, was not in anything to do with his material well-being. And that's irrelevant. Doesn't matter if he was rich, if he didn't have anything. It was about the kindness that he showed. Okay, every other word was a swear word, but at the end of the day, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I mean, what's important at the end of the day? Yeah, I'm not a big fan of swearing. In fact, it repulses me. But somehow when Setrag did it, I was with him. He never shied away that I was his priest. Somehow you knew that, you know, there was something deeper in this man. There was something underneath it. My sister Anish followed up this post with a small little reflection, which I'm going to read to you because I thought it was so well written. Actually, I was there. That's why I remember it. She says, I taught at the St. Gregory School for over 10 years. During that time, I would see Baron, which means Mr. Setrag. Every day, he would greet me in such warmth. Always a smile, a sympathetic ear, a fixer attitude, and a cigar in his pocket. After one especially trying school year, he told me after the kindergarten's huntus, or their year-end show, we'd have a cigar together. And that's exactly what we did. The first and ever cigar I've smoked was with my dear friend Baron Setrag. He was kind and caring and very take charge. He knew everyone and everyone knew him. And, you know, that's what it's all about. At the end of the day, are you there where people need you? Can you be there? He was. And so sometimes that celebration of walking to a different drum, different beat, shouldn't be waited. We shouldn't wait to celebrate that until a person has passed, but celebrate it as they're living. We have so many unique people. And sometimes when they don't fit the mold, we stop celebrating their uniqueness. And I'm sure you can think of people in your mind. You could think of a lot of people. Thoreau was definitely an advocate for individuality, and I think it behooves all of us to turn into that advocate, to celebrate the uniqueness, to celebrate the people who walk offbeat. Any better way to say it? Really, it's those characters in our lives that define our lives, that give it a sense of wonder and have us all smiling. I mean, if God wanted all of us in the same way, what would he have done? He would have created a fleet of robots. And I think this is one thing we always forget about when we talk about robots. Robots are basically machines, and we program them. So they are according to them. God has not programmed us. There is no program in there that says, yes, there is a foundation, but there's no program that says at the next street you will turn left. It's that free choice. It's that free will that we have. Different from a robot who will follow the instruction set that has been given to him or her. Okay, yeah, no gender. But then you know what? It's fascinating. It's just fascinating to celebrate uniqueness, the individuality, to celebrate the personalities that we have. And it reminds us that we have to be a little bit more tolerant, understanding of people that are in our lives. And each and every one of us can take this lesson home in celebrating individuality in people. You got to look at your children. You got to look at your parents and look at your friends, your husband, your wife, and realize that, you know, this is beautiful because we are not the same. We do differ, and in those differences, there's so much for us to be celebrating. Now, this past week, his name was Setrag. We will miss him. Like I said, I had the good fortune of working with him for 6 years, day in and day out. We have all kinds of stories. I could tell you stories upon stories, and some of them that I can't tell you, and I'm just happy that I do have the memory in place to be able to bring them forward. And it puts a smile on my face. It makes me feel good that we had a chance to work together, to be together. Also, this past week, we had the passing of a giant in the Armenian community, particularly in the Armenian diaspora. His name, Adis Harmandian. He was a singer. He was a musician. He was one who brought a lot of happiness, a lot of joy to a lot of people. He actually brought Armenian music into the Middle East, especially into Lebanon. People who lived in Lebanon knew him quite well. We did in the diaspora in America. I had the good fortune of meeting him in the 90s when I was the priest up at St. Andrew in Cupertino, and we found him, and he was gracious enough to come and celebrate an event with us. It was an outdoor festival, and he sang, and I was like a little giddy kid, you know. He was just a few years older than me, but I was like, you know, shell-shocked, star-shocked. Is that the expression? Yeah. He was the star, Adis Harmandian, and went up to him, talked to him. It was just fascinating. Beautiful, beautiful voice. And so why don't we go to the song of the day with a song by Adis Harmandian, one which I have picked out for today.
Gişer, երբ մտնում է ցերայգի, ու մեն մենակ ջամբան ինձ դուր է տանում, հիշում եմ ես, երբ քո սերը չէր մաքի, դու մի ուրի Մեգինեիր խոստանում Մի հիշիր մորացիր մեր ապուն առաջին Մի ուզվիր արդասվերըտ զուրը Մի պնդրիր մի սպասիր որնավում Անցած եմ էլ չգա, երբ չգա Գրում եմ ես, սանամագն է իմ վերջի Ու մեն մենա, իդի տաղծ եմ անդատա Իդի գնա Իդի հիշե առաջի Ամպյուրամ է ու միշտ մանամ կեզ Mi pandorir, mi spassir torna urgeca, on sa cernel cega, ier cega, on sa cernel cega, ier cega.
Adis Harmandian, yes, another legend, definitely a real legend in this world. Adis Harmandian doing Verchin Namag, the last letter, appropriately, off of the Adis in Yerevan album. He brought a lot of joy, a lot of excitement, his beautiful music. Well, that's what he did. He beautified the world. He left this world a little bit better than when he came into this world, by bringing beauty to all of our lives and to this world. And for that, we are very thankful. Thankful to God for the life that he led, for his beautiful voice, and of course, thankful to him for sharing his talents with all of us. Adis Harmandian, we will put a link on today's show notes, not only to the song, to him, but also to a beautiful article that was written by, let's see, what is this? Lucy Dukmejian. And if you are inclined to read Armenian, you will want to check this out. It's just a beautiful, let's see, it says, Adis Chimernir, Adis Haverje. Adis will not die, Adis lives forever. So I really invite you to read this if you're inclined to read Armenian. It is a beautifully well-written article. I'll have a link on today's show notes. May he rest in peace. May we continue his beautiful memory in our hearts. And of course, he's gone, but his music lives forever. And that's one of the beauties of sharing your talent. Something that, for sure, we know your spirit lives on, but definitely your work lives on in this world. Speaking of music, last week I threw it out to you, Lady Madonna, what is the one day of the week that is not remembered? And we had a listener from Northern California named Ara. I want to thank him for writing in. And of course, he did get a copy of Focused Vision. He should have gotten it by now. But thank you, Ara, for that nice note that you sent us. Yes, it was Saturday in Lady Madonna. And I told you, you didn't need to know the lyrics. If you look at it, all the days of the week are two syllables. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Sunday. So in the structure of a song, they work out. Saturday is the only three-syllable day, and so the only day that doesn't work into the rhymes of or the rhythm of the song and is left out, Saturday's Child. I guess they could have said Saturday, but Lennon and McCartney didn't think of it, so why should we? Anyway, Ara, good to hear from you. Thank you very much, and thank you for participating in that small little contest. Individuality, the drumbeat, that's what we've been talking about today, about staying to your own drumbeat, about celebrating your own drumbeat, about celebrating your uniqueness and the uniqueness of others. Well, what do you suppose is the one thing that works against it? Do you remember what we were talking about last week? We were talking about children and God and how children really need God, but they don't need religion. And what is religion but the packaging of God? What we've done is we've taken God and we understand God in a unique way according to our traditions, according to what we've been taught, according to the religion. For instance, you know, Muslims will say God is this way, Jews will say God is this way, Christians will say God is this way. Now, that's basically the three Judeo-Christian Islamic traditions. But of course, when you go into the East, you have different philosophies. But basically, everybody's trying to understand who we are. Where did we come from? These are the essential questions that we have. Where did we come from? What are we doing here? And where are we going? After you close your eyes for the last time, what happens to you? Is it just all over? Do you go to a reward area? Do you reincarnate? Do you come back as something else or as somebody else or as yourself, perhaps without the memories? There's so many ways of looking at it. And like I said, for many people, it's just, well, that's it. From you were created from the dust, you return to the dust and don't look for anything else. Now, in Christian tradition, you believe that you have a soul, that soul is eternal, that it goes on. But within the Christian tradition, you have ways of describing what happens. Does that soul find its reward immediately after death, several years after death, at some future time, or perhaps the reward has already been given? You know, there's different ways of looking at it. And people argue over these points. And this is where religions get into a lot of trouble, because we start thinking that we are God and we start saying, well, this is what it is. Now, never was it more pronounced than a couple nights ago. And when I watched this, I mean, I was mesmerized. I could not turn off the set, because I couldn't believe what I was hearing in the 21st century. We were still listening to this kind of stuff. And, you know, it's like one of those things where you just listen and you go, what? Wait a minute. Is this for real? Yeah, it's for real. And there was a lot of people waving and screaming and hallelujahs and God bless you. Yes, it was a revival meeting of sort. It's called a camp meeting. It was on television. It was some ministry where they were talking about Bible prophecy. And it was unbelievable. The guy is up there. He's got the microphone. He's got a Bible. And he's saying that this is what the Bible teaches. And this is what the Bible says. And he's going on and he's talking about the Bible saying that. And this is for real. I mean, I couldn't make this up. This is honest to goodness real. That Israel, the country, is going through this jubilee. And I couldn't make this up, really. It's like wild. So he quoted that in 1917, World War I unfolding and where Israel was. Then he moves up 50 years, exactly 50 years. And the Bible said that in 50 years, 1967, of course, this is the Six-Day War. And he starts quoting that and about Palestinians. And this was in the Bible. But here's the one that just really got to me, okay? So at the time that Israel is going to be ushering in the new age and the return of Christ, etc., there will be a trumpet player. And so 50 years from 1967, add 50 years, 2017. And what happened in 2017? Well, we had a new president inaugurated. His name? Trump. As in Trump. The trumpet player. And I mean, I saw this. I'm thinking, like, well, who's listening to this? And then they show you the huge church of people, like, waving and saying amen. So basically, then he went into how Trump was born. I mean, they basically messiahified him, they made him into a messiah. And this was unfolding in front of my eyes. And I'm saying to myself, wow, this is really weird. You have a bunch of Christians now who are looking at Israel and the geopolitical circumstances surrounding that state of Israel, that country, is now going to determine the return of Christ and therefore their spiritual well-being. Instead of relying on God or Christ, we're relying on political leaders again. And the people are just screaming and hallelujahing and saying, praise God that this leader has come about. And I was just floored. It was scary. It was scary to watch. It was, it uncensed me as a Christian priest. Now, just a few days earlier, what was even worse on this was that I saw another preacher. This is a Southern Baptist, he claims, but it was just too far out. Southern Baptist, who preaches in Tempe, Arizona. And basically, it was a preaching of hatred, that Christians should hate people who go against the Bible, but not principles of, you know, like wealth and poverty, not against the principles of you should share your wealth, but go against the Bible, particularly in homosexual activities, to the point where he said that these people need to be killed. And I'm going, this is bizarre. I can't believe that this stuff is out there. But sure, lo and behold, it is. And this is what is fueling this rage that we hear all over. I mean, here in America, the greatest and the largest country, the only superpower left in the world, you're hearing about shootings and the senseless taking away of life. And why are we doing this? Why are we at that point? Because of just basic disrespect, intolerance towards one another, about anger. And this is being fueled by religion. Yeah, it's being fueled by religion. And this is one time where I'm not going to put any links to these items on our show notes. You're just going to have to take my word that there is this. I mean, and I hate to tell you, open up your television, the internet, and find them, because I don't want you to see these. These are horrid. This is basically a different type of pornography. It's taken away the dignity out of life. And as a Christian community, we have to take some responsibility and take it on ourselves to say, no, we have to stand up to this evil, just absolute evil. And we have to say, this is not what Christianity is about. Last week, we got so many comments about Children and God, our episode. That's what it's all about. In fact, I got so many requests for us to write that up, and it's going to be probably my next essay, because I just feel like it is so important that we define Christianity in the terms that it is. We've got to get away from this idea that somehow God favors one group of people over another group of people. In the eyes of God, aren't we all brothers and sisters? Why are we creating divisions? Why are we doing this when we realize that our only hope on this planet is to extend ourselves to one another? And instead of evolving, moving forward with this discussion, we're devolving. We're going backwards. We're creating more walls and barriers between ourselves, between one another. And that is unacceptable. As Christians, this is where we need to stand up. This is what we need to be talking about, sharing with others, that the Christian message is unique. And I think anytime, there is no other time more than now that the message of Armadoxy is so importantly, so needed in our world. So important for us to get across. And that's why I'm going to be spending some time. Now, we've got a lot of things going on, but it is very important that we articulate what we're talking about. That this is not about one group of people being better than another people. This is about seeing ourselves as part of a fabric that God calls humanity. And in that humanity, we bring to that table of humanity our set of identity, our set of history, our set of components, our set of values, what we treasure, to be able to live in harmony, to be able to live in respect of one another, to show that, yes, despite having no military power or military strategy, a group of people have been able to survive against all kinds of odds. Why? Because of their flexibility, because of their ability to adapt, because of their ability to talk with one another. And I shared this a few weeks ago when we were talking about Vazgen Valpad. We have to be able to put into the equation the necessity of faith. You know, there's a beautiful saying by William Saroyan, when two Armenians meet, they see if they will not create a new Armenia. It's part of a larger statement about, look what's happened in their past. But I think that what we forget to talk about is where those two Armenians meet. Those two Armenians have traditionally, and always do, they meet within the confines and within the structure of the church. That has been the case. When you look at history, especially post-genocide history, throughout the entire world, wherever Armenians have gone, they've created their church. Why? I mean, when I say created, they have built their churches. Why? Because in that structure, they found an opportunity to express themselves and to reach out to one another. Reaching out, expressing with one another, it is there where they met one another, where the Kharpertsi coming from genocide met with the Sasunsi, unheard of in Turkey, but it was heard of over here, where the Adanazi got together with the Bitlistsi, and they sat and they talked, the Vanetsi with the Gaiseretsi, and they're sitting there and they're talking. And that's what happened in all of these diasporan communities. It was really, truly the Holy Spirit at work. What was unconceivable at one point was now conceivable. Now it was happening. They were coming together, reaching out to one another. And you think about it for a moment. Isn't that how you create the new life? It's by that reaching out, not by separating, but by reaching out. And that is part of the evolutionary process, is for us to go out of our comfort zone and reach out to one another. And this is really a beautiful thing, because what are we doing there? We are celebrating our differences. Okay, that's one way of saying it. How about if I said we are celebrating our uniqueness? We are celebrating our drum beats. We are celebrating what is very special about the individual, about the group, about the people in that group, each and every one of them coming and bringing their set of variables to the mix. And this is how you grow. It's no different than the evolution of the species. It's just different words that I'm using, but it's the same ideas, the basic ideas. You bring in your gene pool, I bring in my gene pool, we put them together and we get a new element, a new person, a new beginning, a new life, which has its own set of coordinates that later on go and breed with the next coordinates. This is how science will explain it. I'm explaining to you that it's no different than what we profess in the church. It's our opportunity to reach out to one another. It's what Christ calls us to do, that our only hope is going to be when we love and care for one another. And these ministries that are talking about divisiveness, about separatism, about us being that robot, kind of like following exactly rules. And I don't care. Let them say that, you know, this is the Bible and the Bible says it. No, this is not what the Bible says. What they've done is they've taken the Bible and they've used it for their benefit. The Bible, get me straight on this, is one book. It's about God's love for us. It is not a book that needs to be torn apart into little pieces and taken one verse at a time from here and there. Because if you did that, you could justify anything. Okay, these people are taking verses, but what's so wrong with just taking a word? Right? If I take one word from this book, another word from this other book, I could justify just about anything, right? I could say, I am king. Well, you know, the word I is in the Bible, am is in the Bible, king is in the Bible, and therefore, I am king is legitimate. It's in the Bible. No, it's not. And we've got to get over this idea that somehow the Bible is God's gift to man. No, God's gift to man was Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ did not give us the Bible. Yeah, no, I don't care. I will argue this and you can see it's a matter of history. Jesus Christ did not give us a Bible. Jesus Christ gave us his body, sacred, the church. And it was the church coming together, the people, the congregation of believers coming together with their leadership that put together what we today commonly refer to as the Bible. And in that context, you understand that the church gives the Bible its validity, and this is how we understand it. Now, we Armenians go one step even farther. We call it the breath of God. It is the breath of God. And as such, it's not meant to be just manhandled in such a way that anybody gets to look at it and say, this is what it says. Sure, study it. Sure, read it. but have the graciousness, have the humility to say, Lord, open my mind, open my heart to your word. Have the graciousness, have the humility to learn what your church is saying, what the church has said about these scriptures, to understand that these scriptures are there for us, and these scriptures lead us in evolving. I came to bring you life and to bring it abundantly. That abundance is the enjoyment of life. It's the sharing of the life. Learn what it means. Find out by opening yourselves to these possibilities. You know, we put ourselves out on the internet, so every so often you'll have somebody who'll want to argue. I'm not interested in arguing. You know, there's people who do that. I'm not interested. This is what I believe. Respect me for it. Respect me for my beliefs, because my beliefs are showing you that it's a religion of faith, of tolerance, of love. And I will respect you the same way if your religion is the same. But when your religion is spouting out hatred, no, it's a religion. It's not God. It's not doing God's work. The evangelist says it very clearly. God is love. Jesus Christ says the way they will know you is by the love that you have, that they'll know that you are mine. If you're a Christian, you practice that love. And it's universal. It goes across boundaries. And you celebrate the individuality, the uniqueness of all God's creation. I have to tell you, the last few days have been very unnerving for me, unsettling for me, having watched these videos of these guys, of these charlatans, these people who are peddling religion at a horrible, horrible rate, and to a horrible tune. No, can't do this. Got to talk about love. And Armadoxy is about love. But what's even more important about Armadoxy is it's got a proven record. It's got a 2,000-year-old tradition that comes with it that shows you that if you apply love, you have an opportunity to evolve. Evolve into that love, evolve into a better person, a better species, a better planet, right? That's what it comes down to. Anyway, here is the piano player, kind of like pushed himself into the room. Don't get mad, I'm just reporting the facts. The piano player's here, and here's Susie.
Susie here again. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. Since 2008, we have been providing quality programming through podcasts, educational videos, and streams, using technology's most current resources. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties, including the challenge to bring peace to a hurting world. To become part of this dynamic ministry, please take a moment now to visit inhisshoes.org website and press on the donate button. Your encouragement goes a long way. Please accept our heartfelt appreciation. Thanks for listening, and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazquez.
Thank you, Susie, for that announcement, telling people how to get involved. I'd love to hear from you. Do drop us a line. Our address is feedback@epostle.net. Very easy to remember. That's apostle with an E, because we're apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. On top of that, this weekend, Sunday, you're going to be at the St. James Armenian Church in Los Angeles, California. Looking forward to being there, celebrating the Divine Liturgy. We have all of our usual programs throughout the week. And of course, we are on all the socials. So do hang out with us and keep those prayers coming. They go a long way to fortify us and move us forward. I am really getting excited. Going to be in Armenia in a couple weeks. We're going to be doing the Sasnashen program. If you haven't heard about it, now's a good time to do some reading on it. Summer has gone by. This is your time for reading. Do check out our show notes to an article about Sasana Shen, as well as everything else we talked about on this show. I'm going to wrap it up. This does it for today's show. Episode, what is this? Already we are at 587. Can you believe that? Well, why not? Summer's over, 587 is over, and, well, that about does it for us. On behalf of the wonderful crew who put today's show together, Susie, our producer, Ken, our technical director, this is Father Valls again inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next.
And now here's the fine print. The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of vpostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Off balance. Top limits.